This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhart, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevrolet. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevrolet, and the two goalies go at it head to head, and Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon to Hall, looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear. He scores!
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of the Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer, and welcoming into the studios my good friend and partner here on Monday mornings, the McKendree Hockey Division II head coach, Gary Henson. What's going on, pal?
Good morning.
Well, interesting weekend of hockey. We had a little high and low thing going on there. I got the opportunity to see a couple of the new guys and see what they bring to the table. I thought Mr. Schmaltz, am I saying that right? Is it Schmaltz? Schmaltz, like John Schmaltz?
No,
Schmaltz?
It's an A.
It's Schmaltz. Okay, we'll go with an A. No, I thought he played well. Thought Jake Allen played well. And we'll get to all that. But before we do, let's bring in the real talent of the show as he's on the studio line. Jamie Rivers, coming to you live from his home. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, happy Monday morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Well, we're here. And you're not, so you sound like you're.
This is true.
You got a little cold going there, it sounds like, but we appreciate you, as always, joining us on Mondays. We know how busy you are. Kind of had a tale of two games there, and I think Blues fans were probably, I'm going to use the word upset with the effort against Winnipeg. You know, we all know that Darren Kimby says that Winnipeg's the best 500 team in the league. And they did look like it.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think the effort, and it shows in the box score, it showed in the game itself, the effort just didn't seem to be there, which seems strange to a fan base wondering, you know, you're in a losing streak, you're supposedly fighting for a playoff. It just seemed odd to me that they would come out and play that way and you know, and go from there. I'll let you take it from there, Jamie.
Well, you know, it's tough. This is going to be the most difficult stretch of hockey that Blues fans have had to deal with. And let me explain why I say that, because we've had rebuilding years before, and we've had, you know, where, like the fire sale thing there when we got rid of Pronger, we got rid of all those guys back in the early 2000s, and everybody thought that was the worst time ever. Which it was pretty damn painful, I'll tell you that. I was part of that at the tail end of that, and it was awful. But this, right now, with the salary cap era and with the relieving of the duties of Ken Hitchcock and Mike Yeo coming in, and then not being able to unload certain players or not being able to add certain players to your team, you're kind of stuck with what you've had. And so now you've got to experiment a little bit all over the place and figure out what do we have, what do we need for the future, and how can we make this team make the playoffs? Because Mike Yeo wants to make the playoffs. There's no doubt about it. I can tell you right now, I haven't talked to him in a handful of days, but that guy's fired up. Like, he wants to make the playoffs, and losing's not an option. And so his skin was crawling after the Winnipeg game. You're furious with the effort, with the attention to detail, with the lack of intensity, let's say. And, you know, it's just a tough time because he's stuck in the middle of experimenting with youth, experimenting with lines, Who's going to play with Tarasenko? And everybody's got an opinion from here to frickin', I'll tell you what, to the Northwest Territories in Canada. You can ask somebody up there who the hell should be playing with Tarasenko, and they'll have an opinion on it, I'm telling you. And it goes back, for me, it goes back to the player, the individual. If you find a goal scorer these days that doesn't work hard to get into those areas, I'd be shocked. I mean, Alex Ovechkin, Patrick Laine, Sidney Crosby, watch these guys out there. You know, we talk about he needs a centerman. Well, yeah, okay, whatever. But at the end of the day, he's got to put himself into a way to get the chances to score goals. And I'm not seeing that enough. I'm seeing where he likes to get the puck and, of course, likes to get the shot on net. Well, no shit. So do I. I love getting that in men's league, too. A guy passed it over to me, and I got nothing but the goalie in me. I'm like, ooh, this is great. Nice and easy. Thanks, boys. You know, like, but it doesn't happen that way. So, you know, the whole ordeal of who can play with Tarasenko, why don't we figure out who the hell Tarasenko can play with? Maybe he should earn a spot on somebody else's line. And, you know, and then Alex Steen and Stastny, you guys need to continue to contribute and lead and push these young guys. And let's just say, screw it. We talked about this on Thursday, the dead weight. We all know who the dead weight is on that team as far as guys who are older, who've been around, who have done nothing really in their careers and really don't deserve to be on the roster. So let's get rid of them and let's really do a youth movement here and get these kids who give a shit to come up and play hard. And I'll tell you what, those are the guys that'll help Mike Yeo and the Blues get in the playoffs and have a shot at least making some noise in there.
Well, sounds like Jamie's pissed again. I don't know. It's just, I mean, it was
no,
quite
really
a, it was quite an episode the other day. The fans loved it, and it sounds like you're going to, no, I think I know what you're saying. I mean, I think we're in this thing, and we're trying to figure out where we go from here, as we said before, but it's an interesting time. I mean, they came back and played well, I thought, against Colorado, although Colorado's kind of on their heels. I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, that's tough. You know, you play against Winnipeg, a team who's still right there, they're going for it. And yeah, you know what, not often do you hear me say, oh yeah, Kimby's got point there, but Kimby is right in the fact that Winnipeg's kind of a sleeper team, and I bet you Paul Maurice is kind of thinking the same thing too, because he gets an effort one night in one direction, he gets an effort in a different direction on another night. And you know, Patrick Laine, I missed, you know, good chunk of games that he could have been a part of, and I'm sure his style of play, his production would have helped them be probably a little higher in the standings than they are right now. So that was a tough test. And, you know, they didn't really respond. And it's some of the stuff that, you know, and I get this a lot from people around. They're like, oh, well, you guys just care about the old school hockey. And you know what? I do care about it. But the whole thing behind it was, even when the Detroit Red Wings were winning Stanley Cups and were, you know, first place in the league every year, and they were like, holy crap, you know, they still had Joey Kocur, Darren McCarty, Chris Draper, Kurt Malpe, Martin Lapointe. Let's talk about that. Let's take McCarty and Kocur off the table. Those other guys played hard and they didn't fight. They hit, they blocked shots, they killed penalties. They did all these things that old school hockey, as people want to, you know, kind of fill my ear with stuff like that. But right now we need some guys who are ready to play some old school hockey. You know, in Winnipeg, we have guys getting hit and run over, and Dustin Byfuglien manhandling Alex Pietrangelo, everybody falling over Carter Hutton in the middle of the crease, and, you know, a few other things going on. And I've said it before, I don't think you need to go drop the gloves and fight the guys, because that game is gone. And yeah, there's the odd fight, but in general, that game is gone. But it doesn't mean you can't go compete and blast somebody out of their skates as they come around the net, or go hard and make it hard for Hellebuck to make a save, make it hard for him to see as you're, you know, landing on the back of his head because there's a million people in the crease. You know, like Blake Wheeler had no problem taking off Carter Hutton's head. His mask went flying, just about dislocated his damn jaw, but, oh, well, it was a repercussion. Nothing. Hey, good job. Tap on the shin pads. You know, like, that's the stuff that drives me freaking nuts is you don't have to be this ultimate warrior, but holy shit, at least give back what you're taking and make it look like you really give a shit. And that's really more where I'm headed with all that.
Hey, Rivs, it's Gary. So here's what I see with Winnipeg. Winnipeg is a Western Conference-style team. Make sense? Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, they're big. They're physical. They're a bad matchup for the St. Louis Blues. And really, there's a lot of bad matchups for the St. Louis Blues.
I was just
going to
say, Gary, is that the only team you're going to describe as a bad
matchup
right now?
But they're because we're talking about that game, you know, that's a bad matchup. And likewise, the Blues are a bad matchup with a lot of the top teams in the Western Conference for the reasons that you just gave. But I would ask you, like, without being too controversial or whatever, or argumentative, who on the Blues do you really think can do the job that you just asked? Like, you don't have to call them out, but do you? If you think those are guys that are on the team...
Oh, no, I'll call them out, Gary.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see who you're talking about. Like, I see the need for it, but I don't see that player. Historically, with the group of veterans that are there right now, and even though Parenko's young, he's not that kind of player yet. Now, what I would like him to have a little bit more of an edge, but... Of the group of veterans that you mentioned, nobody's ever really played that style of game except for maybe Steen. And, what are you going to do? You're not going to get Stastny to do anything.
But here's what I'm saying. Okay. You don't need Stastny. You don't need Tarasenko. You don't need Schwartzy to do all that. Because let's be honest, they can't do that. That's not their game. But, however, we have a fourth line of Kyle Brodziak and Ryan Reeves. Reeves speaks for itself. No need to waste any time talking about how he can play. Kyle Brodziak, do a little hockey DB on him. He's had a lot of penalty minutes. He's been a physical guy. He's had a lot of fights. And he's had a few against the Blues that I can remember in recent history where there were good fights. Scotty Upshaw, we talk about him. He was a goal scorer, fast guy. He's changed his game now to be that fourth-line energy guy. And like I said, we're not talking about dropping the gloves. But Scotty Upshaw is as fast as anybody on that team to get in on a forecheck and rock a guy if he wants to or get to the net hard. So those are just three guys right there. And then when we drop back into the D-core, you can't tell me that Joel Edmondson and Robert Bortuzzo are not supposed to be those players. They are. They are advertised as sandpaper. And, you know, we've talked about this before. What is sandpaper without the sand? It's just paper, gentlemen.
I got that right.
So you got to friggin' – I'm sorry. And I'm not asking guys to fight. I mean, Lange, I want to make that really clear today because I've heard a lot of crap lately about, oh, you guys just want fighters. No, I don't. What I want is a guy who – realizes, is aware that this crap just happened down at the other end, and I can't get a lick on that guy, but I'll tell you what, next time Brian Little comes across the middle of the ice, or Blake Wheeler, next time you're on the ice, you better believe that when the whistle blows, half a second later, I'm going to drill you into the boards and make sure you know that, you know, going near my goalie's not okay.
Right.
Like, those are the two guys on the back end that can do it. The fourth line can do it. There's many guys up front that could play physical. You know, David Perron, as much as he really shouldn't be a guy that's hacking and whacking and running into people out there, he does it from time to time, at least. I just think that the tougher you play as a team, meaning to finish your checks, to be difficult to play against, to be miserable to play against, and this is what I tell any team I've ever coached, and even my own kids, is be hard to play against. At the end of every game, make the other team go, oh, my God, thank God I don't have to play that guy for another 2 weeks or a month, or thank God I don't have to play him again. Like, be that team that everyone hates to play against, I guess is what I'm saying.
Jamie, before we let you go, I got one last question for you. And, you know, you've done us the service of being about as frank as you can be today, which we love, and I know the fans love. So I'm going to ask you this question. You've been in the locker rooms. You've been through the battles. You've done it all. We talked a little bit about the message that was sent really from ownership, management, whoever you want to lay that. Basically, and again, I was kind of dumbfounded by this. I understand the need for honesty at the time, but basically kind of almost come out and saying we're not good enough to win a Stanley Cup. Does that, you know, I know they're professionals. I know they're supposed to be able to go out and put it to the side, but do you see that having an adverse effect on this team down the stretch? That sentiment from management?
No, that drives me crazy too. It really does, because as a player, I played on some shitty teams, Chromes, okay? Like, I played on the 2001 New York Islanders team, and I think we finished second last in the league. But I can tell you what, right down to the last game of the season, teams knew they played against us. It was not an easy check mark, as in, you know, like, yeah, they probably knew they were going to beat us, but they didn't want to play us. And so for me, management, ownership, I don't care who comes down and says, oh, you guys, you know, we're not intending on winning the Stanley Cup. Well, personally, my mentality is, well, I'm going to stick it where the sun don't shine. I'm going to play my freaking ass off here, because if we do make the playoffs, we have a chance. And then at that point there, everybody around town who's judging, or everybody around the Blues organization or fans or people look and say, well, this team, this is just a throwaway season. I want to make sure everybody eats crow at that point. And it's my personality to want to push back and play even harder regardless of the situation. So these guys being told, they're not the only team in the league that realize they're not a Stanley Cup contender. So it's not like we have to coddle everybody here. There's a lot of teams that realize, yeah, we're probably not favored to win the Stanley Cup. The LA Kings, I'll go back to that, eighth place, slid in at the end. They weren't supposed to win the Stanley Cup, but apparently they forgot to get the memo on that one, and they went on to win it.
They were also the team you described, though, Jamie. They were that team that year that people, their points may have gotten them in eighth, but they were a rugged team, you know?
I understand, but you know what? Why can't we, and I'm not saying everybody has to play that way, but why can't we just adopt the fact that we're going to be a bubble team for the playoffs, and our goal is to make the playoffs? And then once we do, we hit the reset button. And it's amazing what you can do at that point, because you have one opponent then you have to worry about. You don't have to worry about a five-game road trip against five different teams. You have one opponent. And you can sometimes figure out how to beat that one opponent. And if you do that, you know, one round at a time, you end up in a situation where the sleeper becomes this, like, oh my God, who's going to stop them in the playoffs? And it's not just the LA Kings. The Carolina Hurricanes did it years ago. The Edmonton Oilers, when Chris Pronger was there, got to the Stanley Cup final. The Calgary Flames and the Tampa Bay Lightning the one year ended up playing each other, and nobody gave them any chances in hell of even making the playoffs that year. So it's doable, guys, and those are a lot of different styles of teams that I just named. I just think they have to ignore everybody telling them they can't do it and just go out there and do their jobs to the maximum of their ability and the maximum of their effort, and, you know, let the chips fall where they may, but at least you're giving it everything you got.
Well, I'll tell you what, I hope they play well, because I can only imagine we're heading into Minnesota and you're back in studio here Thursday. So I don't want to get set on fire here Thursday, as people put it. But no, hey, we appreciate you coming on. I want to take the time to remind everybody that Jamie's pissed, or Jamie's GM, or Jamie's happy, whichever way we go, is always brought to you by Jamie's good friend Sean Vinson with Vinson Mortgage. Remember, you can chat live with a loan officer at vinsonmortgage.com. Get all the information you need instantly. Visit vinsonmortgage.com. Click chat with a mortgage expert and connect live and in real time to one of their loan officers. You know the number, 314-839-9999, or just visit vinsonmortgage.com. Jamie, thanks for coming on this beautiful Monday morning. Take some cold medicine and get back to work. I know the wife's going to get you on something today.
No, there's no doubt. Trust me. I appreciate you guys having me. We'll see you soon.
See you Thursday, my man. That is.
You got it.
Jamie Rivers, my friend and yours, the not only a Blues fan, Blues aficionado, who tells it like it is, really. So Boy, he was ready to go this morning. I like how, you know, we try to be somewhat, you know, listen, it doesn't do really any good all the time to just harp, beat on players. But, boy, it sounds like Jamie's at the point now where it's like, you know, guys, we got to get to work here.
Yeah, he's frustrated, yeah, I think.
He's frustrated.
He's frustrated and pissed. Well, I appreciate what he's saying. But, again, I don't know. The identity of this team is a little different than what seems to work in the playoffs.
Well, and we will see how that goes. I mean, it's going to be an interesting thing. But, I mean, for me, I think he's right. I would like to be that team that when other teams are saying, oh, my God, we got to play the Blues in the first round. I mean, we've done that for years whenever we had a good record. Oh, man, we don't want to play them in the first round. Yeah, it's like they're the seventh or eighth ranked team, but nobody wants to play them. Let's be that team. I like it. Well, I think it's time to get happy. You want to get happy, G?
Sure.
There's only one way to get happy.
How's that?
That's bring in Miss Happy. Angela Sharp and her sharpshooter report. What's going on, Miss Happy?
Hey, guys. I don't mind that. I like that a lot, actually.
Well, when you hear the show.
You guys are really down today?
Well, when you hear the show, like when you listen to the show after it comes out this evening and you're like, oh, I get it now. They needed me. Gary and Jim needed me after Jamie come on and peed in their cornflakes.
All right. That's fair. I can't wait to hear it now.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, Jamie's frustrated, like a lot of fans are, with effort and what we're doing and where we're going. And it was a rough evening. The Blues, I felt, needed a win against Edmonton at home. We all know Edmonton's a quality team. Coming off the news of Shattenkirk being traded, we knew that we were going to fight. I didn't think it was going to be an insurmountable task, but we know Edmonton's good. You know, we kind of had the emotional thing with Shaddy going. But, you know, they lose 2-1 in a game that, quite frankly, I felt like, you know, man, it would have been nice to get the point and see what happens in overtime, that type of thing, and we just didn't get it. The thing I want to ask you about, obviously, the 10,000-pound pink elephant in the room, what was the fan reaction like Tuesday with Shaddy being gone?
You know what? It was actually it wasn't really that. I think every Blues fan kind of saw the writing on the wall, especially with that article coming out, you know, a couple days prior.
Sure.
About how they tried to get rid of him and he said no. So I think all the fans, even if you were like me and didn't want him to go, I think everybody kind of knew that was the road we were taking. So, I mean, everybody was obvious. I mean, if you're a huge Shattenkirk fan, and there was a lot of 22 jerseys in the stands on Tuesday. So if you're a huge fan, of course, you were down about it. But I think everybody knew that was going to happen. And I think anybody who's, you know, following contracts and that sort of thing knew that we couldn't afford to keep him next year. We were going to lose him in free agency either way. And it's better to get something rather than nothing. But at the same time, with him being such a stellar defenseman, and on top of that, I know I've said it thousands of times on the show, a wonderful person off the ice, it does hurt. And it's going to sting, and it kind of sucks. And I don't know if you guys are like me, and you kind of tune in to the Washington games here and there to see how he's doing.
Well, I won't do that because, you know, I'm kind of like – I'm like a Band-Aid, rip it off, it's over. No, I
all
get
right.
it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's I get it. It's a tough thing. And, you know, I think fans are directing their anger at other places. I mean, the current cap situation, I know Mr. Armstrong's taken a lot of heat over the inability to sign Shattenkirk, maybe because of some other deals. But the reality of it is there's time for that later. Right now what we are is actually through it all, you know, we're in the A spot. You know, you look at it and you control your own destiny. We're in the A spot. According to the NHL network there, I was surprised by this. It shows that the Blues on paper have the easiest schedule on the way out. Now, it doesn't look that easy to me when I look on here, but I guess, again, according to them, we do. We play Arizona 3 times. We play Colorado a couple more times. You know, so I guess if you look at the winning percentages, that is true. Now, we have some tough games in there as well. Anaheim's always tough. Anytime, you know, we're going out to that dreaded West Coast swing where we hit L.A., Anaheim, San Jose, Arizona, Colorado. You know, we're gone out there for basically what, you know, amounts to almost a week and a half. So the road is long but attainable. So I ask you, if we make the playoffs this year, will that be enough to appease Blues fans, in your opinion?
That one's a hard question to say. I mean, first of all, you know, I mean, I've heard everything you said about the schedule, and the scheduling might actually be on our side a little bit. We needed that win yesterday. Definitely needed that win yesterday. If we would have played a different, harder team and maybe had that game not turn out as well, that would have been horrible for us. So I think that was great that we got the win yesterday. Blues fans are like me. So this is what I always, you know, to me, like, I'm going to be happy. We're going to be in playoffs. It's going to be great. I'll be a happy little girl. But with us going so far last season, it's hard to say how fans are going to react if we get into the playoffs and don't move forward of, you know, far enough in there to really appease the fans. I mean, we made it so far last season and came so close, you know, to our end result that it's going to kind of suck if we get in the playoffs and, you know, don't produce the way that we think we should. But I think right now our main focus and our main goal as Blues fans needs to be cheering on this team and making sure they solidify that spot in the playoffs. Like, even if the schedule is the easiest one out of all the teams in the land, we still need to show our support for the team. And I know I've mentioned before, there are only 8 more home games before playoffs would hit. So there, I mean, we are on the road. I think there's 10 games on the road and 8 at home, which means if you want to come to a game and you want to, you know, take your child or take your kid or whatever, you only have 8 more home games before the playoffs in order to do that and kind of show your support and loyalty to this team. And, you know, this weekend we've got a Friday and a Saturday back-to-back games. So I know a lot of people don't come out to games on Tuesday and Thursdays. Maybe they work early or they don't want to have to take their kid out because their kid needs to be in bed by 8 or whatever. I mean, this is the time to do it. This is the weekend to take your kid to a Blues game, come out Friday or Saturday, and let's cheer on this team and show them how loyal and supportive we are. Now, I know as Blues fans, we like to kind of complain the next day, and especially after a tough set of losses, we like to nitpick and figure out what we could have done differently and, well, the team should have played better. But let's be honest, if any of us suited up and put on our skates and our hockey sticks, we would have done much, much worse. So let's just support the team that we've got, and hopefully they will get to the playoffs, and hopefully they will surprise us all with their play in the playoffs.
See, Gary, was I wrong? Miss Happy. See? Miss glass half full. Glass half full. Miss Happy. We're making the playoffs, and we're going to do this thing. You know, what's interesting is I was telling Gary in between you and Jamie there that what I really want to be is, for years when the Blues would have a nice regular season and they'd be sitting in that 1, 2, or 3 spot, it seems like every year we're always going, okay, we're in one of the top seeds. Who's going to get in and play us? And it always seems like the conversation turns to, oh, I don't want to play them. I don't want to play them. And you're sitting there in your mind going, but man, we're in the top 3 and they're in the bottom 2 or 3. What do you mean we don't want to play them? And I get it, and I understand it because, some, you know, Gary and Jamie were talking, and Gary was bringing up that there's just tough matchups for teams and things like that. That's what I'd like to see us be. I'd like to see us finish this thing out and be a team that nobody wants to play. That's what I want.
Yeah, I mean, that's the perfect goal. That's the perfect goal for us, is to finish this out, get in the playoffs, and then have other teams be like, oh, I don't want to play them. That's great. That's what we want to be. Upset some people. I mean, why not? And like I know you've said on times before, if we can hit the right set of momentum and the right role going into a playoff, you know, there's no saying that we couldn't play well beyond what we've been playing in the most recent weeks.
Well, we'll see what happens, I guess. I'm looking forward to this Friday and Saturday, too. It'll be nice to get Scott Trade rocking back-to-back nights over a weekend, like you said. You know, that's really when people kind of come out and get after it. You know, they don't have to get up and go to work, probably the next day. It'll be interesting to get Blues fans rolling. We head out on that tough 5-game swing and then back in town for 3 games. So, you know, we're going to know a whole lot more about this team. They have a tough task, you know, tomorrow night in Minnesota. That's always – I don't care if you're in first or last place. That's always going to be a tough game going in there. So they got their work cut out for them. But I'm like you, Angela. I'm going to go glass half full on this one.
You got to.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Well, we appreciate you bringing the mood up around here. That's good stuff, Angela. We know we can count on you. You know what?
I hope I was helpful in that aspect.
I think we move Angela up in the rotation. Maybe we go to Angela first on Mondays and then Jamie. Or do
no
we?
No way.
No, you want to go ahead and go?
No. You're never going to bring, I coined the phrase, you're never going to bring somebody who's awesome at being awesome in front of Jamie's head's on fire.
Jamie's head's on fire. Okay. I agree. That's probably a good point. So we'll stay with that. We'll let Jamie. You know what? I'm still waiting for the Jamie's happy segment. It's coming. I can tell you, it's coming. No. Something
oh, yeah.
good's gonna
that'll
happen.
Be there, and that'll be a great day for us all.
That'll be a great day for us all. Well, Angela, thank you so much. We appreciate you. Remind all of our friends your Twitter handle there.
Yeah, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's just my name, Angela Sharp. There's no space. And Angela has two L's. Sharp has an E on the end of it. And by the way, last game I took a bunch of selfies. So, you know, we're going to hashtag that with sharpshooter selfie, I think.
Yep,
so
sharpshooter selfies.
Let's do that.
All right,
get
let's it do it. I'm ready. Hey, thank you so much. The our Blues correspondent, who's Gary, what is she?
Awesome at being awesome.
That's my favorite line ever. Thanks, Angela. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
That's Angela Sharp with her sharpshooter report. Again, Angela, I love it. Awesome at being awesome. Good
yep.
stuff. Yeah, you know, I'm with her. It was a interesting evening, I'm sure, over at Scott Trade Center for all the people that were going to miss Shaddy. It was almost like when your family, you know, stuff that goes on with your family, you kind of have to deal with it, you
yeah.
know, I guess. If you love Shaddy, but you kind of feel like you got to let him go, I guess.
All right, so I got a question for you.
Okay.
They lose Shaddy.
Okay.
Shaddy's gone.
Right.
The day Shaddy's gone. So we have Schmaltz there, we bring him in, and then he's in the press box in front of your home crowd.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one.
I don't know how you feel about that. I was anxious. Okay, you just removed a fan favorite. Let's give them something to watch tonight. Let's let them have a glimpse of the future, of what we believe will be the future, and he's wearing a tie and a suit, and he's watching the game with you.
I don't know. Again, I guess when I look at this,
just be a PR person, for God's sakes. Like, that's
yeah, no,
not
no.
even a hockey issue.
No, you're right.
That's a public relations issue.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. Mike Yeo may disagree. He may say, listen, this isn't the best. You know, might have been looking ahead. I don't know. I don't have a great answer for you. Schmaltz, I don't think, was called up Tuesday.
He practiced twice.
I don't think he got called up until.
Well,
after.
You know what? He was scratched against. I'm sorry.
Winnipeg.
He was scratched against Winnipeg.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay,
think,
so fine.
But should have called. If you were going to do
one.
This, I don't know. I don't have a good reason. Maybe there is a GM reason for this. I have no idea. But I'm with you. Okay, you know, it's almost like slap shot. Okay, Dave's out. Who's
right.
going to take his place? You know.
Right.
You know. It's.
I think
I'm
that was
you.
A good opportunity to send a message to your, to
well,
your
okay.
fan base.
Okay, so maybe this was the thinking. Was that the best opportunity to put him out there with arguably the best player in the world and all the speed and everything going
yeah,
around?
Yeah, because he's going to have to play against them eventually.
No, I agree. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to make up reasons why he
I
may
get
not have
that,
done.
But throw him in the fire. Jamie said it the other day.
Yeah?
He said, hey, put these guys in the lineup. Let's see what they can do. He said it on Thursday. All right.
No,
well,
I agree.
Here's our opportunity, and he's wearing a tie.
Did find it interesting that Barbashev sat yesterday.
I find it interesting that any of them sit. Like, play them. What have you got to lose?
No,
The group that was on the ice last night is the group that has us in this situation. Right?
Sure.
Okay. Well, we're in the eighth spot. It's not like we're a dominant team or, you know, have so because things haven't been going well, let's look at something new. Jamie said it on Thursday. I agreed with him. So did Kimby. Put these young guys in the lineup. Agostino, when was the last time we saw him?
Yeah,
your
no.
team's having trouble scoring. That guy shows up, and all of a sudden,
listen,
you got a little more offense.
Now, you can't deny that when we had the young guys rolling in the lineup, we were definitely – there was a different feel. Now, was it just them? Was it that adrenaline surge after the coaching change? What was it? I don't know. I don't have a great answer for that. For me, I will say this. I had a bad taste in my mouth when we knew we were going on that stupid hiatus and they give up that goal with, what, 4 seconds left?
Yeah.
Whatever it was?
Yeah.
That just reeked.
Well, of
the
course.
The high heaven. And the,
of course it did.
And that's going to be – and then you know you're probably going to lose that first game back in Chicago. It just – you know, you got to wait 5 days to go get your butt handed to you in Chicago. I don't like it. It was a bad deal. I just think it set us on a bad path. But ultimately, they control their own destiny. Now, hey, look, we're in right now. We're in the A seat. We control our own destiny, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I still want to see the young guys play.
No, no, I do too. I do. I just wonder how much that'll play into it from the GM and the coach. This whole veterans and, you know, gritty, and it's like, well, they ain't done anything. What's so gritty about them? But that's just me. So I don't know. But, I'm with you. I'm with anybody that has an idea on how we do this and how we turn it around. Because, again, I think my goal right now for this team, no doubt about it, is to be the team that nobody wants to play in the playoffs. If we could be that team.
I know that.
But I don't see that makeup on this team.
That's what I'm trying to say. And I get Jamie's – I understand Jamie's frustration, but – I asked Rivs point blank, who in their past of the veteran core, other than Steen, has a reputation for this? And you can say Bertuzzo and...
Well, he can't do it from the press box either.
And Joel Edmondson, but...
Also can't do it from the press box.
But then he mentioned the fourth line.
Right.
Okay, I know Wheeler hit our goaltender. I get that, and I completely agree with Jamie's what should be a response by the Blues. But the guys have to be on the ice when Wheeler's on the ice to make that happen, and they weren't. You know, I mean, and you just can't go running. You got to find him in a certain spot. I mean, Jamie doesn't encourage cheap hockey.
No.
He encourages tough hockey.
Tough hockey.
Well, there's a big difference between tough hockey and cheap hockey. Cheap hockey would be just throw Reeves out there at some point against them and just, hey, take care of it. But that's not how they are, and that's not, you know. That's
maybe
really,
they should.
Maybe. I don't know, but I'm not going to, you know, Jamie nor I or you, I think, are going to encourage that kind of attack. But they weren't out against Wheeler, and I do think Upshaw in that third line, I think they go out there, and I know they go out there and work hard, and I know they go out there and take the body. But the other three lines, there are 9 other forwards. Name me one. Of those 9, other than Steen, and Steen still tries, but let's face it, he's up there. Other than him, who has that reputation? Well, no one.
Well, one of them's in Calgary and one's in Boston. I've said it once, I'll say it again.
Well, two are in Washington. TJ played that game.
He would have played that
game.
Oh,
she
sure.
played that game. Those 8, I'll say, instead take Steen out of it, although I haven't seen it much from him either. They don't play that style of hockey. They never have played that style of hockey. They're not going to all of a sudden start playing that style of hockey.
Well, maybe what Jamie's saying is they better start playing that
well,
style
how,
of hockey.
How are you going to, you know, you can't change a zebra's stripes. He is what he is. Berglund is what he is. Okay? And apparently that's good enough to get a 5-year deal.
Bam.
There you go. Now I'm hot.
I was going to say, speaking of hot, make sure you check out NelsonLandServices.com. It's it's warming up. Hot weather's coming. People are going to start spending time out at their pools. If you have a lake house, if you just want to get your yard ready for summer, NelsonLandServices.com is the website you want to check out. Been popular in the lake area for years upon years. 573-392-9993 if you are in that area. They're growing their business now in St. Louis. They've asked us to help get the word out. They're great friends of both Jamie and Darren's. Their sons play hockey together. Gary's become, got to know the Nelson family from a recruiting standpoint, always looking for good players, and he appears to be quite a player. It's a very, very nice family, very honest, very good at what they do. We'd want to encourage you, NelsonLandServices.com, the only name in landscaping you'll need to know. If you want to put some splash color in your existing landscape, add a waterfall or a pond, transform your new home into a private paradise. Nelson Land has the tools to do the job and do it right. Again, the phone number, 636-244-5651. All we're asking you to do is just give them a call. Scott Nelson and his wife, so supportive of our show, great people. They deserve an opportunity for your business. Again, one last time, 636-244-5651 or NelsonLandServices.com. Let's get some fan perspective here. Again, each and every week we bring you the St. Louis Game Time Report. Bradley and his group do an amazing job of bringing you that fan perspective in a great paper that you can get before every Blues game. Look them up. Follow them on Twitter. They'll let you know where they're going to be. Best $4 you ever spent. Talk to them about subscribing. You get it in an email that day. They have some deals where sometimes that includes the playoffs. If you sign up, things like that. It's a must-read because, like I said, it's probably going to address some things within the paper that you're feeling or thinking. And the best part is you may or may not agree with it, but at the end of the day, that's why we're all here, right? Just to talk some Blues hockey. So let's hear from our friend Brad Lee with the St. Louis Game Time Report.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Game Time Podcast. I'm Brad Lee with St. Louis Game Time. We produce the paper, the fan-run paper that's sold outside every Blues home game. We're also online at stlouisgametime.com and on Twitter at @stlouisgametime. So I'm recording this Monday morning after the big Blues win in Colorado last night, which followed five straight losses. So at this point in the season, the Blues are in eighth position in the Western Conference, so the final wild card spot, the last playoff spot in the Western Conference, by 1 point over the Los Angeles Kings. The Blues also have a game in hand on the Kings and a weaker schedule the rest of the season than the Kings. It sure seems like, though, it's going to be a fight to the end because the Blues have still one trip to the West Coast left. They still have some more road games than home games, and they still have some tough teams on the schedule. So even though they have three more games against Colorado and three more against Arizona, the two worst teams in the Western Conference, it's still not going to be easy. So let's maybe talk for a second about that five-game losing streak, which was capped off Friday night in Winnipeg. The Blues lost the season series to Winnipeg. They only got 1 point, and it just seems like either the styles don't match up or maybe the team speed and the team chemistry, team makeup of the Jets are just a bad matchup for the Blues. They gave up five power plays, and you know, a couple of the power plays were hooking calls, which I think would say that you're a little bit behind on the play and you're trying to catch up and you're using your stick to kind of bridge that gap in the speed. And you know, that's why Jorie Lehterä went to the box in the first period. That's why Jay Bouwmeester went in the second. And if you really look at the, I don't know if effort's the right word, but maybe the compete level. Sure, I think there was definitely Blues players that were pushing it and trying to make something happen, and you know, they just couldn't score a goal. And if you look at the shot attempts, the shots on goal that made it on goal, the Blues were outshot over the game, and even after they were losing in the first period, in the second period they were outshot. The third period, I think they finished even with shots with like 10 or 11 apiece. You would hope that there would be more desperation, that there'd be putting more pucks on net, there'd be more opportunities, be more pressure, more pressing in the offensive zone when you're down a goal or a couple goals late in a game against a divisional opponent. And, you know, it's not like the Jets are a ton of points behind the Blues in the standings. It sure is a lot closer now, thanks to the Blues not getting any wins against the Jets this year. You know, they've got some young guys, Mark Scheifele, they have Patrick Laine. You know, if they figure out what to do in net, you know, they went away from Pavlicek. That, you know, if they go with Hellebuck or if they try to go with a free agent this summer, you know, the Jets could be a formidable team in the Central Division for a long time. And the Blues are going to have to figure out a way to play them closer and figure out a way to beat them because they sure as heck can't do it right now. So they go into Colorado last night. They were in Denver on Saturday and practice at Denver University. On the broadcast, they showed where Paul Stastny signed a bunch of autographs after he spent so much time in Colorado with the Avalanche earlier in his career. And the Avalanche are just a shadow of their former selves. And I wonder if they really have kind of given up on the season. You know, the trading deadline passed last week. They did not trade Gabriel Landeskog or Matt Duchene. Nathan MacKinnon is still there, obviously, and probably will be long-term. But those two guys, it was interesting to me that during the entire game on Sunday night, I don't think the announcers really said their names that often. They weren't the focal point of the Colorado attack. And when you have two talented guys like Landeskog, like Duchene, and they're not the focal point, that just seems like a mistake. And I wonder if they've dialed it back, if they've kind of given up on the season, you know, it's hard to figure out a player's motivation. But you would think a team that's not that, you know, that's eighth, ninth in the conference, that might be a team that you want to play spoiler role, because, you know, the Blues, by winning that game, got back into the eighth spot in the playoffs. And if you're really playing for pride and maybe for a job next year, or maybe you're trying to play for scouts and hope you get traded to a contender or at least a team with a better chance of winning next season, you would want to do that against a team that's, you know, on that playoff bubble, that really has a lot of motivation to play a good game. And it just obviously didn't happen. And, you know, even though the Blues won 3-0, I don't know you can say that they played a terribly good game. I mean, I think they played it enough to win with the competition they were faced. But it wasn't like I came away saying, wow, that was a really good way to break the slump. You know, the Blues have turned it around. Things are going to be looking up. Well, first of all, the game Tuesday night's in Minnesota. And the last game in Minnesota was just a complete domination by the Wild in all aspects. Skating, passing, shooting, defense, checking, goaltending. You know, every facet of that last game in Minnesota was not a good outcome for the Blues. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond. They have one win. Can they put two together? It's going to be really hard. Minnesota has earned that top spot in the Western Conference for a reason. And they want to hold on to it, especially against their old coach, against a team that they played in the playoffs 2 years ago. And, it just seems like the Blues are in kind of a weird spot. They traded Shattenkirk away. They didn't do anything to retool at the trade deadline. They didn't make any moves for the long term. They didn't make any moves for the short term. They didn't make any moves other than Shattenkirk. I think Blues fans, at least me personally, it looks like Blues fans are kind of upset the Blues seem a little complacent, that they weren't proactive at the deadline. You know, even saying that they traded Kevin Shattenkirk is being reactive to the situation he dictated. So I think for the rest of this season, obviously making the playoffs is going to be a priority for the Blues. They say that you make money as an NHL team by making the playoffs, that extra playoff money, and you're not paying as much for salaries in the playoffs, that's where you make money and really kind of stabilize yourself as a franchise. Obviously, if you make it in, you know, the Kings have won 2 Stanley Cups as an 8th seed. They're the only teams to win a Stanley Cup as the 8th seed, but it's still possible. I love playoff hockey, and the years that the Blues didn't make the playoffs, it felt like something was missing, that the season ended too early, that we were missing out on the party at the end of the year. I would be upset. You know, you could argue that the Blues could get a higher draft pick in this summer's draft and better seeding by missing the playoffs, but I don't know. I think I want to be in the party. I want to be part of the thing, even if it's just for a week or two, even if it's for 4, 5, 6, you know, 7 games just in the first round. Maybe they get to the second round. Who knows? You know, anything could happen when you make the playoffs, and, you know, injuries and momentum and team getting hot and a goaltender getting hot. You just never know, but you got to make it for any of that to happen. So I'm going to be rooting for the Blues to make the playoffs. They have the schedule to do it. Do they have the players? Do they have the wherewithal? We'll see. Well, that's all for me this week. I'll be looking more in depth. There's a big West Coast trip coming up next week that we're going to take a look at in next week's podcast. Thanks for listening. You can find us again this Friday and Saturday outside every Blues home game. Our paper outside the garage attached to the stadium, outside the 14th Street doors in the northeast corner of 14th and Clark outside the City Hall parking lot. Look for us on Twitter and on the internet at stlouisgametime.com. I appreciate it. This is Brad signing off. Jim, back to you.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate you. And again, I encourage everybody to check out the St. Louis Game Time paper. If you haven't done it yet, I encourage you to do so. If you've gotten it before, remember, very easy to find, very easy to check out. Don't forget to check him out on Twitter as well. Great guy, great run paper. What are you thinking, G? I mean, here we sit. You know, we're down the stretch here now. We've got an interesting schedule. You know, it's funny, when I heard that during the game last night, that the teams they played, they have the best, well, they're going to call it road, because the combined winning percentage was like under 500.
Right.
You know, I don't know what that really means at the end of the day, because, I mean, these are professional teams and they're here to play. But if the Blues do what I'm asking them to do, and I think a lot of us are asking them to do, and that's be a team nobody wants to play, it should take care of itself, I would think.
I think those teams that they're playing, though, are wanting to be those teams,
sure,
too.
Why not?
You know, you have three more against Colorado, or maybe four.
I think it's three against Colorado, three against Arizona.
Okay.
Now, are those teams just going to roll over? No.
No. The more you play a team in a shorter time duration, the more they have an idea what you're trying to do against them. So they're going to make adjustments. You just said they're NHL teams, which
nobody
is
wants to get embarrassed.
Nobody wants to get embarrassed. And
if you played a team three times in the span of a couple of weeks and you beat them all three times, they're going to be embarrassed. So.
Absolutely, and it's hard to beat somebody three times. I don't care what sport it is.
Sure.
It's difficult to beat another team three times. And so the Blues have to be on their game. I'm going to tell you, I watched every minute of last night's game, and I know they won 3-0, but Jake Allen was amazing.
He was amazing.
He stopped four blank shot, or, you know, wide open shots, or point blank shots, is what I'm trying to say. And he was good, and he was the reason for that victory, I think. I mean, I don't think the Blues played poorly, but I don't think they were outstanding either. But Jake Allen was outstanding last night.
You know, again, I'm with you. I think, you know, let's say this. I think there's an opportunity, okay, for Jake Allen maybe to really culminate a turnaround for him by maybe putting us on his shoulder and saying, come on, boys. I mean, that would be, you know, I felt to you, again, Colorado, they're an NHL team. They're obviously struggling. But he last night basically said, I'm going to play and I'm going to take it out. I thought Carter Hutton played well against Winnipeg, to be honest with you.
He played great.
You know, the goaltending's not the problem here.
No, it's
for sure.
Not.
It's not.
Kind of ironic.
Well, isn't that weird? Isn't it ironic? That was a song, right?
Yeah.
Not a very good one.
No.
But it was a song anyway. But
not much was ironic.
Well, again, I look at it. I mean, you know what I'm saying, though, about the whole thing? I mean, think about all the years we've been Blues fans. Think about the years where we 100 points, 105 points, 98 points, 99 points. And what would we inevitably sit around and do? We would sit around and start looking at the bottom couple teams that were trying to get in, the bottom couple teams that were in, and what would we all – here we are with 104 points, and what are we talking about? Oh, man, that's a bad matchup. We don't want to play them. We don't want to play them. And I just can remember always sitting there going, but they're 500.
It is what the Blues fan and people involved in talking Blues hockey have done for years. You're absolutely correct. And I'll tell you this. I coach a lot of Chicago Blackhawk fans. They're, for whatever reason, the Bearcats are made up of a lot of Chicago Blackhawk fans.
Man, you maybe shouldn't have said that.
I know.
We've been converting a lot of Blues fans.
Hold on, listen.
Okay.
They never say stuff like that. They never. I've known some of these.
They're ready. They don't care. Bring them on.
I've known some of their parents for years.
Bring them on. They want to play whoever.
Exactly. They just don't see. They don't see the doom and gloom of the Blues fans. Now, if you talk to Cubs fans,
it's always been different.
Yeah,
sure. Waiting for
go.
The. So before we go, I want to, you know, you lean on your expertise as a coach. Well, it's the truth, because I think you could find yourself in this situation, because here's what worries me the most. Okay, as a Blues fan. Jamie touched on it, so I wanted to get your opinion, because you could be in this situation sometime, and I don't know what the answer is. My problem with the Blues is, and I brought it up on the show before, is that I don't see the possibility for any change without drastic change. Okay, and what did I say on that? If you don't eat a contract or two, or trade a supposed core guy that makes a lot of money, you basically are going to take what we're looking at right now and you're going to come in the next season with the exact same thing. How is that a good thing? And it's only because what can you change, what can you not change? No different than yourself. Now, you're always recruiting, but a lot of times the guys you're recruiting are very young.
Right.
If you have sophomores, juniors that you're counting as, you know, outside of them getting better, if you have the same players, what do you do?
No, and that's the world we're living in with the Blues team. for sure. I think your only option, unless you want to start the season with what you have, is to fire Sale. What else are you going to do?
No, I understand that. And you see where I was going with this? So, like, for instance, if I'm – and you correct
me. No, and I get where you're going. So, like us, you know, we
– You lost two seniors, right?
We lost two seniors.
And you had a great season. So, I would think that you would be looking at next year going, I'm ready to go. I only lost two seniors. I've got guys coming in. I've got a big core coming back. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get after it.
Yeah, so what we're looking for is we're going to replace those two guys, but we need a little more depth. We lost – our best defenseman going into the playoffs with a broken leg. What we need to do is to make sure if that situation arises again, we have somebody who can step in and take those minutes. That's different than what the Blues are looking at. The Blues are looking at some, I just think, a complete overhaul.
Well, and it makes their job tough because there's contracts involved.
How do you sell season tickets over this summer?
It's on social media everywhere, and I do want to encourage everybody. We are in support of your social media campaigns for whatever it is. Make sure you follow us at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter. And the reason I bring up the Twitter thing right now at STL Blues Podcast, people on Twitter are like wondering, what are we going to do? I mean, they're all hope. I mean, listen, the dream scenario for everybody is that a couple of these guys that have been referred to, and I hate to say their names, are going to go to Vegas.
Right.
I
speaking of Vegas, you know they sold out their season tickets in minutes.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm on record as saying it was a great
They'll
move.
Have no problem with attendance. What I think they'll have a problem with establishing, because the big corporations came in and bought up everything, and they're going to give it to their big players, and anyway, that's a different subject. So, if you're a ticket buying fan, are you buying season tickets with the same team?
Well,
I think you're really questioning.
Well, you told me earlier just be a PR guy. Let me tell you what's never good for PR. When your GM gets on TV and says, "We're not good enough. And we're not going to do anything."
Right, and then we don't have any
answer.
We don't have an answer because the reason why we don't have an answer is because we got no room. We're tied into these contracts with guys that have put us where we are. You know, it's going to be a tough sell. It's going to be a very tough sell. Because here's the thing. I'll bet, and I have no idea, I would bet the majority of the individual season ticket holders are roughly our age. Okay?
Yeah.
Roughly our age, and it's the Blues' 50th year. And so we've seen tons and tons of letdowns. And, you know, last year was fun, but we still didn't get there. And now this year has been really frustrating. And now you're going to go into your sales meeting when the season's over, and you're going to tell your salespeople you need to push them season tickets. How do you get that done? You better put a different product on the ice. Jimmy, you know, you're both in sales.
Okay, so before we go, last thing. My last thing for you. Has this been one of the most frustrating seasons for you as a Blues fan? And it has for me. And I think the reason is because last year you sat there and watched them in the playoffs and you thought, holy cow, we are that team nobody wants to play. Now, I know it didn't I remember watching them lose to San Jose thinking, man, we should have been – that should have been better. Like, even if we didn't win that, God darn it, we should have put up a bit. I don't know what – who knows? I ran out of gas, whatever you want to use. I don't care. But my point is that was the only little bit of a letdown for me is I felt – I didn't feel like San Jose was that much better than us. I really didn't, if at all. But that being said, to then come back now and it feel like
all the momentum that was gained last year
is gone.
It was gone before the year started.
Right.
That's difficult for Blues fans to handle in particular. We are unique, and the reason why we are unique is because we've never gotten there. You know, we've never hoisted the cup in 50 years. And now we had a chance last year. Everybody was excited about it. And then you think, okay, we lost, but look, we can do this, this, and this, and we'll get it back next year. And all of a sudden, now that's gone.
Yeah.
Man, that air left that balloon quick.
Quick. Real quick. Well, hey, we want to remind everybody, make sure you check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. That's where you'll find the show. You can listen to some back episodes. There's no doubt that the last couple that we've had have been some of our better ones, judging by the numbers. Everybody really loved the episode from Inter Arena. What a great place. Did you see the daughter crying over Shattenkirk?
Yeah.
And then the news picked it up, and it was an interesting thing there. But you can go to bluesnhlpodcast.com. You can listen to the current show. You can listen to back episodes. It's also the easiest way to subscribe to the show, which we encourage you to do. It is free, and you just get a notification saying ding, ding, show's been released. Click on here. You can listen at your leisure. People are switching from radio to podcasting, guys, just because you want to listen when you want to listen. So we want to do that and be a part of that for you. Emails are great. info@bluesnhlpodcast.com is how you guys can email us your questions, comments, concerns, anything you may agree, disagree with, especially if you're a great Blues fan and want to come on and talk some Blues hockey. We'd love to hear from you as well. I mentioned earlier Twitter, @STLBluesPodcast is where you'll find us. Our promise to you is if you're a Blues fan, we will follow you back because we want to know what you're thinking as well. Thanks again to lineupmedia.fm. We're part of a great network that has great shows. They understand the value of your time. And if you want to listen to some great podcasts on your time, I guarantee if you check them out, you're going to find a show, besides ours, of course, that you like and will tickle your entertainment bone. Can't tell Gary here how much I appreciate him coming in on Mondays and keeping the studio from being so empty with the guys gone. He's a lifelong friend and really enjoy doing this with him. It's we, you know, feel like I'm sitting in a bar drinking a beer, even though it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, maybe we should be. But it's been great for me to have you in here, and I do appreciate it.
Thanks.
It's good as always. Of course, thanks to Jamie for calling in and giving us his take. Our good friend Angela Sharp, Mrs. Happy, awesome at being awesome. And, of course, Brad Lee with his St. Louis Game Time Report. Couldn't do the show without our supporters. NelsonLandServices.com. Don't forget, 636-244-5651. And, of course, Sean Vincent and all the gang over at Vincent Mortgage. You know, they're so supportive of all the sports going on in the St. Louis area. Great friend of Jamie's, wanting to be involved in the show. Don't forget, VincentMortgage.com. And, of course, everybody knows the number, 314-839-9999. For Jim Cromer and the Blues NHL Podcast, we will see you on Thursday. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.